This is Classical IPR, a service of Interlochen Center for the Arts.
Gwyneth Walker is the composer in residence for the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra. On their season opening concert this weekend, the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra will be giving the premiere of Walker's Great Lakes Overture, which she wrote specifically for the occasion. Gwyneth Walker is here in Northern Michigan for the concert, and we're delighted to have her in the studio with us today. Gwyneth Walker, welcome to Interlochen Public Radio.
Thank you. I've never been here before.
We are very glad to have you. Gwyneth, for our listeners who might not know your music well, how would you characterize the sound or the style of your compositions?
I'm very American. My choral music sounds like somebody who loves folk music. My instrumental orchestral music sounds like Aaron Copland with a sense of humor. That's me. I don't attempt to sound European or urban. I live in the country, either in Vermont, really out in the country, or in Connecticut, but I love the country.
And I'll confess that the first piece of yours I got to know well was the choral piece, Every Night. I think I sang it when I was in college, and I'm going to guess a number of our listeners have sung this piece at some point. So talk to us a little bit about Every Night.
Part of my choral music is taking familiar American folk songs or spirituals and adapting them. I don't even want to say arranging, because often I write completely new lyrics. You can do that if the piece is in the public domain, traditional. And that's part of what I do. Other times I do completely new musical settings. But I like the song Every Night When the Sun Goes Down. And it was commissioned in honor of a choral member in Vermont who had passed away. So I added a couple of lines at the end about after death and when I rise up into the sky. And I actually dedicate this to my father, because there was so much about the birds flying overhead, and he was always upward thinking. And when I rise up into the sky, if you look up quickly, you can see me passing by. On wings of silver, I will fly. And then the song ends rising up. So even though it had started every night when the sun goes down, I hang my head and mournful cry. There's a lot of lowness at the beginning. It ends up with the bird going into the sky.
Well, let's listen to a performance of Every Night as envisioned by our guest, composer Gwyneth Walker.
Thank you.
we heard a performance of Every Night, a version by our guest today, composer Gwyneth Walker, here at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell here with Gwyneth Walker, and you're well known for your choral music, and we just heard an example of that, but you've also composed instrumental music very prolifically as well. So what are some of the differences you face when writing instrumental as opposed to choral music?
Well, of course, idiomatically, when you're writing, let's say, a brass quintet or a piano trio, you must try to do your best to write well for the instruments on hand. Whereas when we're talking about songs, if you understand the human voice, that's one general category. But understanding how to write for strings is very different from writing for brass. So those are challenges, and you learn as you go along. You just try, especially you should try with chamber rather than full orchestra, but you try something, and the players may tell you right away, this is great, and this right here is going to be hard for me. Could you try this, that, and the other? So I've had a lot of good help along the way with the string writing, and some of my piano trios benefit by the immense amount of help I've had from string players. People say to me now, oh, you must play a stringed instrument. And honestly, I have never even touched a violin or a cello or a viola. I have not even touched those precious instruments, but I watch very carefully how the players move the bowing hand and move the hand that does the fingering. And so it is a challenge to write well for the instruments. And if you don't write well for the instruments, you have people struggling instead of letting the music sing.
Well, we're going to listen to A Vision of the Hills for piano trio next. Can you give us an example of something that you may have reworked in this piece?
No. That's the beauty of it. I've been working my whole life at this. And now when I write it, people say to me, it sounds as though you must be a string player. And I just smile. And I don't even tell them what I've told you. No, I've never touched. I did not adapt a note for this. But surely earlier works when I was younger, I adapted a little bit. I think it was pointed out to me that certain double stops on the cello were absolutely impossible. But no, I have none of that in this one. It flows, and thank you to my friends who helped me.
So tell us a little bit about this piece. You've said it's probably one of your most favorite pieces, one of the most requested pieces of yours. What do you think it is about this piece that makes it so appealing?
This combines things I really love. So I suppose when a composer is dealing with things she really loves, it comes through. My name, Gwyneth, is Welsh, and I love Welsh songs, like the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, is a Welsh hymn. Also, I'm a country person, and where I lived in Vermont was right beneath Braintree Hill. And I would wake up in the morning and see the mist rising over the hills. So I would see the mist rising and I would think of that Welsh hymn, Be Thou My Vision. So it opens, this particular piece opens with calling out just little motifs as though the cello and the violin were far distant, calling out across the hills, and the piano provides the mist rising, and then the melody comes in.
Well, with that in mind, let's listen to a performance of A Vision in the Hills, music composed by our guest, Gwyneth Walker, and it's performed here by the Chamber Ensemble Musical Harmonia.
Thank you. Thank you.
A Vision of the Hills, music composed by Gwyneth Walker and performed by the chamber ensemble musical Harmonia. And Gwyneth Walker, you're here in Northern Michigan right now because the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra has commissioned a brand new work from you. It's called, appropriately, the Great Lakes Overture. She's holding up the score right now as we speak. And now, obviously, we can't listen to a recording of it yet because it's never been performed, but tell us a little bit about this piece.
Oh, a little bit. Well, of course, learning about all the Great Lakes has been a process, and I will say Judy Zorn of the orchestra has taken me to see the lake I had not seen, Huron. I've seen all the others. I've been writing a large cantata for chorus with orchestra called The Great Lakes, which was commissioned by the Toledo Choral Society, but which will also be performed by the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra and their chorus in the future. So that got my interest going. It was my idea, by the way, to write this cantata about the Great Lakes. I thought that would be a topic that would interest people in Toledo. And then I was soon contacted by your Great Lakes Orchestra saying, wait, we're on the Great Lakes. And I said, oh, wonderful. So they're going to perform the cantata in the future. But the challenge is now I must write an overture before the cantata begins just for the orchestra. And it was pointed out to me that I must have a storm on the lake, that the lakes aren't always placid. So I tried to weave in things that I thought of as part of the lake experience. And I have the foghorns, setting sail on the lakes. These are all aspects of life on the lakes that I tried to weave in. Waves, the gentle waves and the birds. Then a storm, and I can use thunder sheet. I can be quite noisy with the storm. And then at the end, a lone bird sings after the storm passes. That would be a piccolo. And you know, when you had a storm, it goes by and then maybe just one animal dares to speak. And then I have the grandeur of the lakes. So this overture is not very long, but it attempts to encapsulate the variety of the lakes.
So for sounds like a foghorn, for example, is that an instrument emulating a foghorn, or is it an actual foghorn?
No. The orchestra must emulate. So we have the bassoon and the trombone and the timpani and the low range and the bass. Yeah.
What's it like sitting with an orchestra as they're playing through a piece and you're hearing it for the first time?
Well, of course, they actually are having their first read-through tonight, and I told Judy Zorn, no, I don't want to be there for that. I've learned from experience. Let them have their first encounter with the music without the composer hovering, okay? But by the time I get to the next rehearsal, this is not time to have an emotional reaction. This is not to say, how do I feel? This is the time to listen very intently. Are there any notes that are wrong that might have been engraved incorrectly? We hope not. I've done proofreading, but I listen for the notes. And if there's anything that's not working well, and if a player raises his or her hand, says, this isn't right for me, then I try to do the best I can. So it's business. It's total business at the rehearsal. Time to see if you can help. And at the dress rehearsal, more of that, is everything perfect? Is there some little thing I could change now? It's too late to rewrite. So if you're hearing something you think, oh, I should have extended this section, I'm sorry, but you cannot do that for the premiere. Later you can go back if you wish. But you listen very intently, very professionally. Can you help?
Now, when are you allowed to have an emotional response to the piece?
I suppose at the premiere, because there's nothing I can do then at the premiere. I just sit there and I hope that the audience hears the lone bird or the storm. You know, I hope that what was a figment of my imagination translates into something that other people can understand.
Well, folks, you can hear the world premiere of the Great Lakes Overture Saturday evening on the season opening concert from the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra. It takes place at the Great Lakes Center for the Arts in Bay Harbor and starts at 7 o'clock. For more information, visit glcorchestra.org. Gwyneth Walker, thank you so much for joining us today here at Classical IPR, Interlochen Public Radio.
You're welcome, Amanda.